And good morning. How are you guys doing? Yeah, good. Everybody recovered from last week's shift in time. Everybody got your green on, right? What's that? Well, yeah, they celebrated through the weekend from what I've told. So that's why I'm wearing this. Carrie said I had to, otherwise I'd get mugged or something. I don't know. Hey, it's good to be here this morning. It's good to be just with the community of God's people, always. We are in a series on what God has to say about giving, and that usually just draws in the crowd, so I'm surprised we have empty seats. it's good to be here and to hear what God has to say in His Word. We are going to be starting in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy 15, verse 19 and 20, and then we're going to be looking at Deuteronomy 16, verse 16 and 17. It says, "You must set aside for the Lord your God all the firstborn males from your flocks and herds. Do not use the firstborn of your herds to do work in your fields, and do not shear the firstborn of your flocks. Instead, you and your family must eat these animals in the presence of the Lord your God each year at the place He chooses." And then in 16 it says, "Each year every man in Israel must celebrate three festivals, the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of harvest, and the festival of shelters. On each of these occasions you must appear before the Lord your God at the place He chooses. You must not come before Him empty-handed, but everyone must bring a gift as they are able according to the blessings given to them by the Lord your God." I'm going to start in a place this morning. I want to start with kind of the beginning of the story. In the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God was there, right? So God began creation. But the truth is that God was there even before that. God was there before the beginning. And we don't often think about that, but that's where I want to start this morning. So I want to start before time, before space, before the 7 days and the words of creation. And I want to start before there were the laws of thermodynamics or science, or there were the elementary particles or those initial forces that formed the universe. I want to start before that because God was there. God was there, whatever that means, whatever there means, before there was a place, right? God was there, whatever was means, before there was actually time. But God was there. And God was there in a time and a kind of a place somehow that really all that existed was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in this community of three, this communion that was unbroken and unobstructed, this compassion and faith and faithfulness and truth and kindness towards each other that they shared from eternity before even creation began. God was there, and that was who God is. That was God, who God was in that place. Then that God who had shared this in this community of three persons, the three persons who they were communing in spirit, because the physical world, I mean, that this wasn't even here yet. So here's that God, who is this God of three persons of spirit who were in unobstructed communion with each other. That God is the one who created this universe. And we need to know that, because that God framed this universe with His own heart, with His own intentions, with the intention of bringing into being beings that he could then expand that community of three so that it would encompass and bring us into that same unobstructed community, that same unobstructed fellowship with each other, so that it would include us, who are also made as beings of spirit, but also beings of body and soul. And from the beginning, that was God's intention. That's God's plan. And this is also the God who later would call into being this nation. This nation He named Israel. And he would intend on shaping them into this people who would express and reflect His own heart and his own nature, his own character, and become a community of care and compassion and fellowship so that they would reflect to the world who he had always been. And so he formed this nation, and he gave them these commandments. He gave them commandments about all a host of things, but he gave them commandments about things like giving and sharing and just sharing what God blessed them with so that they could learn how to take care of each other well, so that they could reflect that compassionate part and that compassionate nature of God's heart as well. So he did this so that all of them in the whole community would be provided for, that they would be protected from the least to the greatest, every single one of them, and that they would know how to then commune in this deep kind of fellowship with each other, but also with God. God said that then he would also enter into that kind of community and that communion and that fellowship and that friendship with them. And that was his plan. That was his intention. And we need to know, I want you to just think about what that means, that here's this God who's existed in friendship and fellowship for all eternity. He's brought a world into being to reflect that, and with the intention of expanding that community, and then he brings into being a nation so that they can reflect that in the midst of this world. That is the context. That is the only context and the only purpose for all of the commandments and all of the laws that God gave to Israel. That is the purpose. Okay? We need to get that straight, because otherwise we come up with all kinds of theories and all kinds of ideas about why did God tell us to do this or that or the other thing? Was he mad at us when he said this? Was he wanting to beat us up about this thing? No, that is the one context and the one purpose. It was the one plan that God had. And he has been consistently pursuing that plan ever since. So when we start looking at what God has to say about giving in the Old Testament, that's the context we need to have in mind. That's the framework and the filter we need to be thinking about these things through. When we think about how God is wanting to shape us in this place and us as individuals, that's the context, that's the purpose that we need to have in mind. Because that has been the plan and the purpose of God since before time began. Community, relationship, communion with each other and with God. Now, it sounds kind of simple, but sometimes we lose sight of that. But that is what went back to creation and even further. And that is the context that frames, that's the filter through which we need to see when we talk about things like giving, and tithing, and giving sacrificially, and giving offerings to God. All right? Now, the past several weeks, we have been looking at what God has been saying about giving in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. And what we've seen is that God presented, he crafted this pretty elaborate plan for his people Israel, right? Last week we looked at this chart. We saw that several, you know, on certain years they gave towards this thing, and so on other years they would give towards this other. But it was all so that they would be able to take care of each other well. All of it was so that they would learn how to take care of each other well, how to share with each other. It was this elaborate system of trusting God as a partner. It was an elaborate system of sharing with each other so that the physical needs, but also the spiritual needs of everyone in Israel would be taken care of, so that other nations would look at them and say, wow, what a wise God they have, what a wise system they have in place where everyone is taken care of. What a good God, what a wise God you must have. But beyond just caring for each other, there was this other important kind of characteristic that he wanted his people to pick up on. And we miss this one a lot. When we talk about tithing and giving, usually it's about how do we take care of each other or how do we fund a new project, something like this. But this is one that we miss, because another characteristic God wanted to build into Israel was joy, was celebration, was learning how to enjoy each other's just fellowship, just enjoy being with each other, enjoy getting together and celebrating how good God has been in our lives. So listen again to what Deuteronomy 16:16-17 said. Every year, every man in the land of Israel. Now, It says every man in the land of Israel. But the truth was that they were bringing their families. Yes, they were bringing their families. You can see that in the first passage we read. It said that your whole family gathers to eat this feast. But every year, every man in Israel with their household must celebrate these three feasts. He commands them, celebrate these three feasts. Have a good time. Come on, you guys. Right? The festival of unleavened bread, the festival of harvest, the festival of shelters. And on each of these occasions, you must appear before the Lord your God in the place he chooses. And you must not come empty-handed. But in fact, each of you must bring a gift as you are able according to all the blessings that you have been given by the Lord your God. So three times a year, everyone in Israel is told to gather, come together and celebrate these celebrations. And they would have these large festivals, but these large feasts. One was at the beginning of the new year, which happened to be at the beginning of the grain harvest, and then at the end of the grain harvest, and then again at the end of the fruit harvest. And they would gather together to thank God for all he had done. And two of these times, he says, and I want you to not just be together for a day, I want you to celebrate for a full week. But then you notice, okay, so where's all the party goods coming from, right? Who's going to bring the paper cups, and who's going to bring the salads? And he says, and I don't want you to show up empty-handed. But in fact, I want you to bring the supplies. Bring according to what God has blessed you with that year. Now, we saw last week that in fact, four out of these seven-year cycles, God said, take 10% of what God has blessed you with in animals and in crops. Take 10% and set it aside for these festivals. So that you have something to bring when I call my people together every year, three times a year. So 4 out of 7 years, put stuff aside so that you can bring the animals and the crops to be a part of this. And aside from that, in that first passage we read, he says, and whenever your animals have a firstborn male, set that one aside. Whether it's from the herd or from the flock, you set that one aside because you're going to bring that one too. You're going to bring it down so that we have this, you know, not just a potluck with grains and stuff, but we have barbecue going on too, right? And we're going to eat this together and celebrate God's goodness together because he has blessed your flock and he has blessed your herd. And then if you have a firstborn child that's born into your family, you're not going to bring the child. But he says, put some money aside to represent that child so that you can buy something to celebrate that God has blessed your family with this new life. And he said, and aside from that, if you're just thankful because God has blessed your life in some way, bring a sacrifice to rejoice about that too. And some of you might just want to say, you know, I just love God so much, I just want to bring something to just say, I love you, God. Kind of this I love you, God offering. He said, bring those too. And then you share in that feast together. You all come together into Jerusalem and you share in that big feast together with everyone around so that everywhere you look, you see people feasting and you know what it means. It means God has been good to us this year. Three times a year, come together and bring the best you have and just have a great time rejoicing. And that is what it means to worship me well. Three times you have these national scale, can you imagine? Right? National scale barbecue and potluck. Just enjoying ourselves together. I want you to hear this. That was part of the tithing system of Israel. Four tithes a year were to go to this. Tithing. You go, wow, I didn't, you know, that kind of changes perspective on tithing, right? Tithing was a bad thing, but this is saying, no, I just want you to make sure you have enough stuff to have good parties together, right? Why? Because that's, it seems, who God has been from eternity past. God just did hang out in eternity past with the, you know, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're barely getting along. You know, they finally say, hey, we got to get a project. Otherwise, we're going to have to split up, you know. So let's create a world or something. No, he says, they haven't been enjoying each other so much in eternity past. They wanted more people to be a part of it. So let's create a world where beings can be brought into existence that we can invite into this thing too. But let's show them and command them to learn how to enjoy each other like we enjoy each other, right? I don't know about you, but that's a different perspective on God for me too. You know, studies have been done that show that we are actually wired for relationship. We are designed for community. We connect with each other well because everything about us is made to do that well. And we actually have, in our brains, we have like two systems that run parallel to each other, or kind of run complementary to each other, not at the same time. We have a task kind of oriented thinking system, brain system, and then we have this social brain system. And when the task system is needed to get the business done, it goes on. But you know what we default to? The social. Why? Because God is like, he said, listen, when you need to take care of business, I've given you the ability to figure stuff out. But when you're done, go to the important stuff, which is how you live with each other, how you exist in this community together, and how you reflect that nature of just relationship and communion together well. Go to that. That's where we default to. Being with God's people, being with God, being with each other. There are other studies that have been done, and they've shown that in families or in communities, even in churches, that the churches and the families and communities that know how to play together well, they're actually healthier. Actually, they last longer. In fact, they said that if you introduce too much unhealthy seriousness into any community of people, it immediately starts to decline and go downhill, and people start dispersing because nobody wants to be there anymore. It's like we inherently know that's not what we were made for. Not sitting around being serious all about everything all day long. And God even made us so that we respond negatively towards that. Why? God made it so that we have a need to have fun together. We need to enjoy the company of the community we're a part of. So in the Old Testament, what does he do? He commands his people. He commands them, set aside a portion of what I have blessed you with. And use it yearly. Set aside a portion of your stuff. Set aside a big old chunk of your time, right? I mean, that's at least 2.5 weeks plus travel. I want you to set aside because I want you to come together and I want you to learn how to enjoy each other and invest it in this part of what is so he has made essential to who we are, essential to who he has made us to be, essential to who he is making us, he is who we are becoming, so that we can be a part of that fellowship with him. He said, I want you to invest in this. Why? Because that's who he is. That's who he has always been. That's who he will always be. That is the life that he invites us into. So celebration, think about this. Celebration, joy, enjoying one another's fellowship, learning to live together well. Enjoy, not just in, you know, just putting up with each other. Enjoy. That is part of what it means to live rightly before God. That is part of righteousness, is to actually enjoy life together. Isn't that encouraging? You guys are all sitting there going, that's interesting. Let's get serious about this and think about that one for a while, right? No, we should go have a party about that one. We should just have a big potluck and, you know, I'll bring our lunch today and say, yes, let's rejoice that joy is part of what God's about. But have we ever thought about tithing in that light before? Tithing, part of what God commands us to give towards, is to celebrate and to build community together. Have we ever thought about church in that light before? That part of what we should do well is we should know how to celebrate as a community together well. You know, remember that passage? I don't know. We've looked at a passage out of Malachi the last couple weeks. Malachi 3, and it's a passage that we typically go towards with tithing. Malachi 3, it says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out to you a blessing until it overflows. In one place he says, you won't even be able to contain it. That's my blessing. Now, last week, we saw that part of that, I mean, it's definitely about how we bring resources in so that we learn how to take care of those who have needs, that we learn how to care for each other well. No question about that. God, earlier, just before those verses, he says, actually, if you take, he kind of talks about, when I bless you, I give you what you need, and then I give you enough to take care of each other. So that you're, that's not even yours really to mess with. That's not, you're not supposed to be taking that. That's given for others so that you can take care of them. And he says, if you take that and you use it for yourself, you're actually stealing his money from him. You're stealing his stuff because he didn't give it to you to use on you. He gave it to you to use on them. But then think about this. Because part of the tithing, he says, if you're also taking the money that I meant for you to invest in celebrating my goodness with this community, if you're taking the money that was meant for this group to actually have great times together, that's also stealing from God. Wow. I mean, he's, because that was part of the tithe, right? 4 out of 7 years, that was your tithe, was to go towards the festivals. Do we understand that? Do we understand how serious God is, how serious God is about us having fun? I don't know. I get excited about this, you guys. This should be such a shift in our mind about, one, who God is and who God has always been from eternity past to eternity future. This should just rock our brains and our minds, our world about what tithing is really about. Man, it's so much about community, about taking care of each other, but just enjoying God's goodness together. That's what it's really about. This should just this shift in our heads about what it means to set something apart, set something aside that we see as often as ours. And we're like, no, why should God get it? You know, it's investing. It's not investing. It's not like God takes it and runs off with it and we never see it again. It's investing in that community of people that are right around us. Do we benefit from that? You bet we do. We always benefit when we invest in the community of people that God has surrounded us with. Amen? So here in this passage, God says, we need to set aside these things well. God is serious about this gift. So I want to give us three more questions. You guys, I hope you have this running list of those questions I've been giving you. I hope they've been challenging, you know, about what tithing means. We looked last week about what it means to really care for each other well. I want to give us three more questions here. The first is this: how well do we do at celebrating God's goodness together? How well do we do it? As a community, as a church, do we do that well? And part of it is, think for yourself, when I have something great that happens in my life, right? When I have a great day, when I have a great day at work, or I get this promotion, or I land that big, you know, that big sale or that big account, when that happens at work, or I just have this great day at you know, as a teacher, and I'm teaching my class, and there's just a breakthrough with the student, or maybe it's a personal that in my home, you know, we're welcoming in this new life into our home. You know, when those things happen in our life, is the first thing that comes to mind, you know what, I need to take some of that stuff that I've set aside, and I need to tell God's people about it. We need to have a party about this one. Is that what you think? Not really, right? Because that's what he says we should be doing. That's part of his whole plan for giving. He gives us a lot so that we can do that. So how well do we do that? How well do we do that here at church? How well do we have regular times? Do we have regular times that we set aside that we say, we're going to get together and we're going to bring all the best we got and we're going to celebrate how good God has been to us this last year? Because if we don't have that, we need to do that. And I want to tell you something I told the first service too. Don't wait for the pastors to come up with the plan for that one. This one I'm going to hand to you guys and say, this is on you guys. If we need to have more parties, set them up. We'll show up, right? Right? But we don't need an official program. We just need to get better at celebrating together. Second question is this. Do I personally set aside a portion of what God has blessed me with in order to invest in celebrating with God's people? Right? Most of us don't think about that when we think about, maybe we think about caring for people. Maybe we think about, you know, the programs, the outreaches and stuff like that. But do I set aside a portion of what God has given me each year so that I can invest it with the sole purpose of celebration with God's people? Money, stuff, obviously time. Do we set that aside to celebrate with God's people? And not just celebration with a small circle of friends that we like hanging out with. Celebration with God's people, this community that he has embedded you into. Do we do that well? Do I do that well? Because this is the group of people that he's preparing to bring into eternity together, right? We're gonna be doing this a long time. So he says, start practicing now. Third thing is this. Do I understand how essential celebration is to me? Because that's I've been wired for it. That's I'm supposed to reflect God's heart, and this is part of his heart. But also, do I understand how essential it is to others? That when God shows his goodness in my life, that I testify of that goodness to them so that they too can be encouraged. That's when we see that when one member rejoices, all the members rejoice. Listen, if God does something amazing in your life, I want to celebrate with you. That's my God too, and he just did something amazing for you. He showed up in your life the way he showed up in mine many times. And I can join, good for him, good for you. That's awesome. How well do we do that? Do I understand how essential that is for me? Because apparently, this is what God's been doing from before time was time, before place was place, and he plans on doing it into eternity. That's what he invites us into. You guys, this is the plan that God had from the beginning of time. This is the intention. This is the purpose. This is the only context and purpose that we entered into. We need to learn how to rejoice and celebrate life together better. We need to learn how to do that. That reflects God's heart and his life. And ultimately, what we are celebrating that he is actually inviting us into. He is bringing us into that life, into that eternity. I want you to listen to the words that Jesus prayed. This is just before he went to the cross. It's in John 17, and these are the words that he prayed for his disciples and for his followers that would follow after them. He says this, Father, the hour has come, so glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all things, over all flesh, over all physical creation, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you and know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And the glory that which you have given to me, I have given to them, that they might be one, just as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them just like you love me. That is eternal life. The celebration piece is not optional. It's like that is the life that God calls us into. Care for each other well, but also learn how to celebrate God's goodness together well. Question is this, is that my prayer? Is that our prayer? Do we pray that prayer? God, make us like you. Make us a community like you've always been. Bring us into that community, that understanding of community and relationship and communion and celebration together, because that is an essential part of what it means, of what God has to say about what is giving, what is tithing, what is offering all about. That's it. That is a central core piece of it. And we need to learn it well. Amen? You guys ready to have more parties together? Anybody? Yeah? Okay. Well, we need planning teams and stuff, so get ready. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you because God, in this world that we look around and we see beauty and we see joy and we see, I just have to imagine that, you know, we tell jokes and we laugh and we love to laugh. I can't imagine that we came up with that on our own. I have to believe that somehow that came out of your heart. That is quite possible through eternity prior to creation, that you, Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, you guys are sitting around and you're just having a great time together. You're telling some of the best jokes anyone's ever heard. And you're just enjoying that life of being together and of sharing those times and those spaces with each other. Father, teach us to do the same. Teach us to enter into the joy that is beyond comprehension, the joy of the life that you have given to us, made available to us through Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit, under your care and in your fellowship. Father, we pray that we would reflect this life because we want to make you known. We want to know all there is to know about you. We want to make all of that known to those who desperately need you. Father, this world needs more joy. It needs more celebration of goodness and awareness of just the blessing of God in this world. So, Father, help us to be that beacon and be that light and learn how to reflect that part of your heart well. We pray it in Jesus' name.